Good morning, and welcome to Husky Nation News right here on WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. This broadcast is in collaboration with the UConn newspaper, the Daily Campus, and UConn student-run TV station, UCTV. I am your host, Jonathan Kapeliovich, the assistant news director here at WHUS. Settle in, get comfy, and grab a snack. If you like today's show, my news director Kate and I have another talk show called News on Overdrive, which talks about broader issues in the UConn community. My guest today is B. Diaz, the former Chief Diversity Officer-elect for the undergraduate student government. We will be discussing the circumstances and allegations surrounding her resignation from this position. Without further ado, I'm excited to bring you the news of the University of Connecticut this week. Daily Campus correspondent Allison Cross reported on the gathering of UConn students on Monday, April 5th, at the Student Union Lawn to call for decisive action against the recent anti-Semitic incidents committed on campus. Despite recent statements from UConn condemning the anti-Semitism, students say that an active action still hasn't been taken by the university to fight anti-Semitism. Eighth semester psychology major and Hillel student board member Roar Maurice says, "We are scared, we are confused, we want answers, we want it to stop. We want change. We want to feel safe because right now we don't." Some of the students' demands include a one-credit course addressing hate against the Jewish community and an upcoming plan to present to USG. UConn has introduced a new minor into their course catalog called the Literary Translation Minor. Jake Kelly, a Daily Campus correspondent, writes about its relaxed environment in which students get to translate literary texts while interacting with people from other cultures. Translation classes are capped at 90 students, and the prerequisite for this minor is to be literate in a non-English language. Peter Constantine is the director of the minor and commented on the importance of cross-cultural understanding in the real world, especially in politics and international relations. Students like David Lassie, a junior majoring in Chinese and history, says, "The minor not only gave me a better understanding of Mandarin idioms and cultures, but also developed my English writing abilities as I worked to create accurate and colorful translations. Clearly, this minor can help develop a better understanding of the world around us." Daily Campus correspondent Nyla Suleiman wrote about the awarding of the Blaise Pascal Chaire d'Excellence to Nora Berra, professor of physics at UConn. "The purpose of the award is to facilitate innovation and collaboration between the United States and France. Nora Berra is planning to conduct research in France with this award." Elena Hancock, the news and information officer at UConn Communications, describes the type of research that is being conducted, saying, "The research work will consist of investigating physical and chemical processes induced by absorption of laser light or photons. Specifically, Berra's research is to measure the time it takes for electrons and biomolecules to move from one end of a biomolecule to another. Through these attosecond laser experiments, Berra is studying a process called charge migration that helps measure the time scale on which physical processes are based," Hancock wrote. Daily Campus correspondent Grace McFadden reports on the transition to yellow status at UConn due to an increase in on-campus coronavirus cases. Yellow status means that the campus will impose stricter limitations on in-person activities. Shaw identified 35 cases over the course of 2 days and placed the dorms Eddy, Middlesex, Windham, Rogers, and Russell under quarantine. In the email, Shaw noted that the cases were concentrated around alumni, North, and Northwest resident halls. The email theorized that positive tests usually emerge within 3 to 5 days of exposure. This suggests that the spike in positives may be related to large off-campus gatherings that were reported this past weekend. Grace notes that restrictions will most likely last till Sunday, April 11th, which is when students move out. Here's the weather forecast for the weekend. Today, it's bright and sunny with a high of 64. Tonight, it's mostly cloudy and a little chillier with a high of 42. Tomorrow, it's partly sunny with a high of 65. Tomorrow night, it's mostly cloudy with a high of 45. Last but not least, Sunday has a high of 62 with a 50% chance of showers after 10 a.m. Now to bring you the sports roundup of the week. The most notable development is the end of the women's basketball season with a loss to the Arizona Wildcats on Friday, April 2nd. It was a very close game with a score of 69-59 that led to the UConn Huskies being terminated in the NCAA Tournament Final Four bracket. In other sports news, the softball team continues playing in the Big East Tournament with two games on Saturday, April 10th, and one game on Sunday, April 11th against the Providence College Friars. In baseball, UConn managed to cinch the game against the Bryan University Bulldogs, winning 9-8 on Tuesday, April 6th. We will see how UConn does against the Georgetown University Hoyas with four games, Friday, April 9th at 6 p.m., Saturday, April 10th at 12 p.m. and 3:30 p.m., and Sunday, April 11th at 1:05 p.m. In track and field, both the men's and women's teams will be attending the UConn dogfight meet. The men's team will run on Friday, April 9th, while the women's team will run on Saturday, April 10th at 10 a.m. Last but not least, the women's lacrosse team will go up against the University of Denver Pioneers in two games, one on Friday, April 9th at 3 p.m., and one on Sunday, April 11th at 12 p.m. We'll be right back.
While listening to WHUS Stores, UConn's Sound Alternative.
From this point forward, the views and opinions expressed on this WHUS News Department show are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily the views of the staff, management, or a licensee of WHUS Radio or the University of Connecticut.
So let's start at the beginning, because I want to give our listeners some context. Can you please introduce yourself?
So my name's Brittany Diaz, but most people call me B. My pronouns are she or they. I am a double major in political science and human rights with a minor in WIGS, and I am also a junior. I'm also the president of UConn Collaborative Organizing, and I recently resigned as CDO.
So onto the USG elections. It took place at the beginning of the month, and students voted for president, vice president, CDO, senior seats, and more. When you were running for chief diversity officer, what were you campaigning on or for? Like, what was your platform? What legislation would you have brought?
So the platform, I guess, that I was focused on was more of obviously like diversity and inclusion and equity and things like that. I was really fighting for things such as advocating for social justice policies and whatnot, making sure that there's an intersectional, I guess, approach to the way in which how we view things in the student government and throughout the UConn community, and also just making sure that the undergraduate student government practices inclusion and not just diversity, because I've heard a lot of more of, I guess, like the face of diversity and tokenizing rather than inclusive things actually being put in place.
And a little off topic, but I actually heard, is it true that you did a little, is it true that you like drafted a mental health bill a few years back for USG?
Yes, that is true. So I actually wrote the bill, I think December 2019. I wrote it all by myself. It was like 3 a.m. I don't know what I was doing. I was just like, oh, I just have this idea. Let me just write it down. And then I actually resigned as a senator at USG Hartford because I was told that the bill and the issue of mental health was not a concern at the moment. And then eventually that was taken to Stores, and that's kind of how I guess my activist work kind of got started here.
What exactly happened with the bill?
So the bill recently, the bill got passed in November. As of right now, we're doing focus groups. So we're creating focus groups on mental health issues and whatnot, and then basically working on actually implementing these policies.
That sounds like a lot of good work. Did UConn ever do anything with that?
So the president's task force I was a part of, I was a part of it for a bit, and they reviewed the bill and whatnot. I think I decided to take a step back from the task force because I felt like a lot of people were looking at the bill, but it was more of just kind of addressing it for the, I guess, in the moment type of thing and kind of the performance of it all, but not actually caring to implement the actual changes. So it wasn't until like I guess fighting a whole entire like year later where it was actually passed, and now it's like finally up to me and which like I guess how to implement these things and which people to work with now that I have the okay to start working on such policies.
That sounds great. I wanted to move on a bit to what happened with USG earlier. On March 10th, USG released a statement expressing your decision to resign after you faced several instances of online harassment from anonymous social media account. If you're comfortable with it, can you walk us through your decision and what happened?
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, I'm okay with receiving criticism and whatnot. That doesn't really bother me. I'm okay with people really calling me anything. What I'm not okay with is people telling me that I need to go to conversion therapy. And people coming for my identity, as an activist, that's something that I've always kind of had to accept. And I just come to terms with that. I don't have to accept being degraded in order to do the work that I do, because I feel like at what expense is it worth it? And then also recognizing that I don't need USG to work on diversity issues when I've been doing that with Yuko and everything like that. And it's, I think the reason why I definitely resigned was because it definitely affected my mental health. I think people always have this idea that I'm supposed to be strong and that I'm supposed to deal with all these things because I'm an advocate for certain issues, but in reality, like, I can't always be strong and I'm human like everyone else. A lot of things were also racially motivated. I would say, for example, like people telling me to go back to where I came from. There was also a lot of false allegations. There was rumors saying that I encouraged people to use hate speech towards Michael Hernandez, the current USG president, which is a lie. That's completely false. There was just a lot of things that were blatantly not true. And that's basically why I resigned, because a lot of these things also came with people, like, I guess from people within USG. And I recognize that it's not that I don't want to work with people like that. It's also that, well, if they're not holding people accountable now, I don't think me being CDO is really going to make that big of a difference.
We reached out to the undergraduate student government for comment, but they have not responded at the time of this recording.
And so it sounds like USG and UConn in general didn't do much to hold the people accountable. Did they ever try to make you at least feel comfortable, support you through this time?
I would say on USG end, not really. USG has never really been a place where I think, at least for me, that I felt comfortable. I feel comfortable with a lot of the committees, but I would say with more of, I guess, certain aspects of it, I'm not so comfortable, or to be honest, confident at all. It's, I mean, people could say this about me all they want, because I think as an advocate, I get a lot of feedback all the time saying, oh, you're performative, or you're this and that. And of course, because I can't please everyone, but I think with USG, it's almost nearly a performance all the time. Being that I just think it's kind of wild to denounce that, I guess, denounce my harassment and what happened to me, and not even just harassment, but hate speech. And then yet, of course, people have the freedom of speech to say what they want, but then to have people within USG say, oh, well, she's making that up, or that's just, something that's, I guess, not that big of a deal. I mean, I wouldn't make up someone or a group of people telling me to go to conversion therapy. Like, there's no reason for me to make that up. Second of all, I think that I don't really view USG as a support system in the way that shortly after this whole thing was denounced, I guess of what happened to me, there's a lot of senators, and a few people, I guess, including Michael Hernandez, the president of USG, liked a picture on the UConn Free Speech Instagram page, basically blurring out my name, which promoted the false allegations. And that's something I take, I don't know. I take that very seriously, because you could say you don't like me, you could say I'm a bad person, you could say whatever you want, but to literally make false allegations is just nonsense.
We reached out to Michael Hernandez about B's comments, and he said the following. During the Free Speech Initiative, I received a lot of online attacks and racial slurs from the people who claimed that free speech would be used as a cover for hate speech. However, people in leadership and in general did not condemn these attacks and instead joined in the opposition to the Free Speech Initiative. This means that the opposition to the Free Speech Initiative was not based in principle, but in popularity. I cannot speak to any rumors about BDS, and I can only be held accountable for my own words and actions. I do know that B. Diaz was in strong opposition to free speech and used their platforms to mischaracterize the initiative, which eventually led to increased tensions and, unfortunately, their resignation. I wish them the best of luck.
Everything I do, I attach it to my name and I do it publicly, because if someone has a problem, they could come for me. But I think for people within the student government to hide under some burner accounts just to express their racism, homophobia, sexism, etc., and then to have the president, senators, and such do this is just despicable. And people could say whatever they want about me. I think in regards to this whole free speech thing, I could say that I don't think USG was there for a lot of people, because I did talk to some of my friends and they said that a lot of people within USG were scared to actually speak out on the issue, and that a lot of people were actually against the bill. And I also think it comes into play that a lot of people in USG were actually even trying to silence my speech, because they were advocating for, I guess, tolerating speech. And tolerating what someone else has to say is not necessarily a freedom of speech, because I can agree to disagree. So for me to say, or for someone to say that I have to tolerate, or asking for some acceptance of what they're saying, is nonsense to me, because I, you know, like myself advocating for something else, saying that I think this is this and that, now there's a problem. But when I'm being harassed, where was the free speech people to show up? I just think that's just kind of crazy in my opinion.
Yeah, since we're talking about the culture of USG, I know they made some recent adjustments as to how they're allowed to operate throughout the end of this year and next. As we know, they'll be closely monitored by the Department of Student Activities due to, you know, harmful internal actions, quote unquote, taken recently. What do you think of this decision?
I think I don't really like. So I read the email or report or whatever it was that was discussing the actions that were being taken. I think it is a first step. I honestly can't say much because I'm not like a senator or anything, so I don't really know how it's going to affect the organization or how people really feel about that. However, I would say that I do think it is unfortunate that, I guess, things don't really come to change until certain things are too late or until things have gone too far. I think it's kind of crazy how this whole like legislation thing or whatever it was got put to rest like literally the day after I resigned. I don't see why things have to really go that far, and I don't see why it took forever for like the student government to finally recognize that even if people were, you know, genuinely with like good intent fighting for such bill, I just think it's such an inappropriate time to fight for that, especially with this anti-Semitic incident that just happened on campus. So I feel like this, I guess, these precautions being taken place are a good thing, especially with some of the things that I've seen in USG meetings in the past, with blatantly racist comments made and no one was there to stop anything or say anything.
Do you think the recent measures to increase accountability at USG will improve the culture within the organization? Especially when, as you said, they do a lot of tokenizing and performative activism.
I hope so. To be honest, I'm not really sure. I would just say that I hope USG focuses more on inclusion than diversity, because diversity is important, but without inclusion, diversity really means nothing, because in that sense, all it really is just having diverse oppressors, and like that's not necessarily like bringing equality of any sorts at all. All I could say is that I hope that this will bring change. I just hate that a lot of people have left USG within the past few months to a year, especially people of color. And even yet, little justice has been brought to the table, I guess. So I just hope that people, especially admin and faculty, take this seriously.
What would you like to say to the UConn community about your experiences within the last month and in USG overall?
I would say that there's a lot of great people in USG. I have respect for a lot of people within USG, especially committees. I find that committees are very I don't know. I think they're great, and I think they're really foundational to the things that really needs to get done on campus. For example, academic affairs and the anti-Black racism course becoming a general education requirement, things like that. Or committees are the ones that really push for change, and I feel like that they don't necessarily always get the credit that they deserve. However, I think there is a culture. I'm not the first to say this, and people could demonize me all they want, especially within the student government, because as a woman of color, that's all people tend to do within the student government. When I speak out, people continue to demonize me as aggressive and such because I'm telling my truth. But there is a blatant problem of sexism within the organization, and I think that that needs to be addressed, and not only addressed but taken action on. And I would just say that I think for people who want to get involved, I would say, what is your mission, and in which ways can you accomplish that? Outside of USG and inside of USG, but I would say that be wary of, you could really accomplish anything you want. You don't necessarily need an institution or an organization to do those things.
Before we wrap it up, I want to touch on what your plans are for your last year at UConn. How do you plan on staying active on campus to champion the causes that mean so much to you, like racial equality, representation in USG, and accessing mental health on campus?
So I think my senior year, whatever I decide to do or whatever I decide to run for or anything like that, whether that's continuing, doing UCO or doing research or anything like that, I think that the issues that I that really mean a lot to me are still things that I'm gonna always achieve or aim towards, I guess bringing more cause and awareness to. I think that my senior year is probably gonna be spent obviously doing a lot of the same things that I've been doing all along, is connecting with people and really trying to build that community. And I would say that I'm open to working with USG in the future. I think I've always been open. I just think that it's a matter of respect and how we approach things, because I've noticed that USG has always come to approach UCO on such matters and to ask us for help on diversity and inclusion, yet they continue to disrespect our members. So I guess it's just doing the work that I do, but also putting a line out there where it's I can do this work without jeopardizing my mental health or my well-being. So I would just say continuing doing organizing grassroots through any sort of campus organization.
I just wanted to say thank you so much, B, for coming on to Husky Nation News to talk with us today.
Thank you for having me.
This has been Husky Nation News on WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. I'd like to extend a warm thank you to our guest today, B Diaz, for coming on. Thank you to the Daily Campus and UCTV for collaborating with us, and thank you to Ethan Smith, the creator of our theme music. I'm your host, Jonathan. Signing off today. Have a great weekend.